And I'm David Fair, and you are listening to 89.1 WEMU. The season is changing, and warmer weather and hopefully more sunny days are ahead. For many, the Huron River is a destination recreation area, but there's a chance signs being posted along a five-county span of the river may end up deterring some of those activities. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues Environment on 89.1 WEMU. A Do Not Eat Fish advisory is in effect for the Huron River for Oakland County all the way to Lake Erie. It's because an unsafe level of PFAS and PFOS chemicals have contaminated the waters. These chemicals are known as forever chemicals. Forever? That's a long time. So what does it mean for us this summer and perhaps the summers ahead? My guest this morning has spent a good portion of her life not only protecting but working to improve the water quality and recreational and economic opportunities along the Huron River, and has been succeeding. But now the executive director of the Huron River Watershed Council has a whole new set of issues to deal with. Laura Rubin, welcome back to WEMU and Issues of the Environment.
Thank you, David.
Have all the signs been posted along the river at this point, or will more be coming throughout the spring and summer?
More of the permanent signs will be coming. Last fall, when we first got the fish consumption advisory, we put up temporary signs. The permanent signs have been delivered, but some of the communities are waiting till the ground thaws a little bit more. We have heard that at our major public parks, with the Huron-Clinton Metropolitan Authority, some of the city and county parks, those signs have been posted.
You said the word permanent, and I want to make sure that people understand what that means. These are just more permanent signs that will last longer. You're not talking about signs that will need to be in place for the rest of history.
Exactly.
Just wanted to make some clarifications. You and I have
signs, these signs can be removed, and hopefully they will be.
Right. You and I talk about this issue a lot, but there are likely some folks who don't know exactly what happened to precipitate the need for the signs. Last year, you and I ended up talking on successive weeks on this show and many times thereafter, because what began as a small advisory rapidly expanded to cover a five-county span of the Huron River. So from last summer to now, what have we learned about the PFAS and PFOS contamination in the river's water?
Well, last summer when we first got the fish advisory, we did not know where PFAS was coming from. In the last 9 months, we've learned quite a bit from continued testing of the surface water and of many pipes where our major sources of PFAS are coming from. The largest source was traced back to Norton Creek up in Oakland County, and then specifically to the Wixom Wastewater Treatment Plant, where they then tracked it upstream to a metal plater.
Called Adeptin Manufacturing.
Yes, it's now known as Tribar, but yes, it's a metal plating facility, and PFAS is commonly used in metal plating processes. This was something they phased out of using PFAS in 2015, but PFAS is so sticky and persistent that it lasts just in the pipes, in the cracks and crevices of equipment. So it was still in the system itself, and we had numbers up in the thousands range, parts per trillion. We tried to get that down into single or double digits. And so, you know, within a month, Tribar had put on the best control technology that we have, which is a carbon filter. And since then, those numbers have been coming down, not as quickly as we would like, but they are. And in addition, we found, you know, additional inputs at much smaller levels, but especially some of the groundwater sites that we've had that we know needed cleaning up, some of the manufacturing sites, those have, you know, 20, 50, 100 parts per trillion.
The EPA health advisory level is 70 parts per trillion. So what are the areas in Washtenaw County where we are testing for high levels?
They're testing in the river itself. They've been testing the wastewater treatment plants. They've been testing manufacturing sites. And they've also been testing any old contaminated sites. They haven't been finding any major sources in Washtenaw County. They are continuing to look. But, you know, what we're hoping is that we found the largest source and that our numbers will continue to come down, and that within, you know, 2, 5, 10 years, we'll be able to lift this fish consumption advisory. From what I hear from the state, they think that we might be able to lift the fish consumption advisory in our lower Huron, from Ford and Belleville Lakes down to Lake Erie, sooner than we will be able to lift it up in Oakland to County to Washtenaw County.
Well, certainly some reason for optimism there. Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Huron River Watershed Council Executive Director Laura Rubin. As we discuss PFAS levels, we should note just yesterday morning, Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced formation of a PFAS Action Response Team. It's going to be a science advisory board that will study the ramifications of exposure to PFAS. Additionally, the Department of Environmental Quality will look to set maximum contamination levels allowed for PFAS in Michigan. Basically saying, we can't wait for the federal government and EPA to address this issue. We have to do it now. What was your reaction to that announcement?
We were very excited. This is something that we've been working on for the last year. It was very disappointing to see inaction on PFAS at the federal level. We've tried, and many of our state representatives and senators have tried, but that administration is just not taking action. And so in their absence, we were really pushing for state action. We need a drinking water contaminant level to be able to, you know, to be able to regulate and monitor the amount of PFAS in our drinking water, and specifically to protect health.
Some say that 4 parts per trillion, which is much lower than the federal 70 parts per trillion standard, is about as high as you want to go to protect the safety and the health of human beings. Is that something you see might be possible as a legislative level in Michigan?
Well, we're hoping. I mean, it was very clear last December from the outgoing MPART Science Advisory Board that they conclusively felt that 70 parts per trillion was too high. New Jersey, Vermont, Minnesota, they're regulating anywhere from about 14 to 35 parts per trillion. And again, usually this is for just 2 of the PFAS chemicals, PFOA and PFOS.
And there are hundreds of them.
And there are hundreds of them. Definitely 70 is too high. I think it's up to, you know, the scientists to tell us whether we should be in 10 and below in single parts and what that number is. But once you start getting down to those lower numbers, we're then enabling better protective measures, you know, better treatment technologies, resources to help our communities get there. And that's the kind of action that we need.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, getting to the source of the contamination itself. State Representative Yusuf Rabi and State Senator Jeff Irwin have introduced polluter pay legislation. The Ann Arbor Democrats want to make those that caused the pollution to pay to clean it up. Both agree it's likely a non-starter in the Republican-led legislature in Lansing. So where to from here on that front, Laura?
Well, you know, it makes sense. That when we have a polluting industry, they're the ones who are paying for the cleanup. And especially, we don't have the resources at the local level or at the state level to address the scale of this issue. You know, this is coming from Air Force bases. This is coming from contaminated groundwater sources. This is coming from manufacturing processes. This is definitely an all-hands-on-deck. We need industry there as at the table, as well as our state regulators and our local municipalities who are treating the water. Fundamentally, the polluters should be contributing and paying for the cleanup of this pollution. How we get there is going to be a long road in this legislature.
Well, let's talk about the summer ahead. Fact of the matter is, outside of not eating the fish, the recreational opportunities along the river aren't all that hampered, are they?
No, they aren't. This is a chemical that's not been shown to be absorbed through the skin, and so we don't see it affecting the recreational industry. You know, the Huron River, we recently did a study and estimated that the river itself contributes $53 million in economic output. So we're very sensitive to anything that might impact that and diminish it. So we're hoping we have a very good recreational season, but definitely the fisheries have been affected in this case.
So what are you hearing from the local governments and communities throughout the watershed? How high is the level of concern about economic impact?
It's a concern, especially we've heard from our parks department and our recreational outfitters. They're concerned that there's a fear that people will stay away from the resource. And so there's a lot of, right now, there's trying to be a lot of education and outreach assuaging those fears.
Do you personally have any reservations about hopping in the river and splashing around this summer?
I don't. You'll see me out on the river in a kayak and splashing about.
Well, I guess the let's return to the optimistic side of things. We know more today because the science is better, because we have more public demand for information and for accountability. By knowing more, there is the opportunity for different choices at all levels of government and in our personal lives. You can't solve a problem you're unaware of. So on that front, we are moving in the right direction, aren't we?
We are. Again, I always want to point out that there are a lot of pollutants and chemicals that are out there in our environment that we've introduced that we don't know about. And until we really start to regulate these chemicals and come up with standards that protect human and environmental health, we're going to continue to see these issues. We're much more aware of them than we were 10, 20, 30 years ago. But it's also up to us as consumers and individuals to make wise choices about what we buy and consume, and also to express these concerns to our legislators.
Thank you very much for the time today, Laura. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, David.
That is Laura Rubin, Executive Director of the Huron River Watershed Council, bringing us up to speed on the health of the Huron River in the midst of PFAS and PFOS contamination. We'll keep you up to date as new information becomes available. You've been listening to Issues of the Environment. This regular Wednesday feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.